Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is the Hans Shot First podcast.
They don't know it, I'm telling you.
We'll be talking in depth about common movie moments
from my dead body
with the mix of all things pop culture along the way.
Yeah, Oscar.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone, to Hans Shot First. I'm Jeff, joined as usual by Scott and Alex. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
This week, we're talking about The Menu.
I'm still fucking hungry.
We're not just talking about... Well, I mean, yes, we're mostly talking about The Menu. But why are we talking about The Menu this week specifically, Jeff?
Because we're hungry, you selected.
I just said.
Right, but we're also kicking off our Halloween-themed or war-themed.
I mean, I think we did that last week with Fire in the Sky.
Did we?
Yeah, that was like a soft opening.
Okay,
this is
the real rest. Opening. That was a restaurant. That was a soft opening.
Yeah, it was a soft open. Okay. Now we're opening.
Okay, well, the point is, we're going to keep this up until like October,
December,
yeah.
Whenever that is.
We'll keep this up for the Halloween season here with some spooky, scary, suspenseful movies. Ooh.
I heard Halloween was going to be on Friday the 13th this year.
Oh, God, don't go outside. All right. This movie came out in...
Son of a bitch, I just got that. Stupid.
What? I don't even know what I just said. I just said don't go outside. I wasn't quoting anything. Well, what did I get?
No, that's Scott. I heard Halloween was on Friday the 13th this year. There is a Friday the 13th this October.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, it was half right.
But, yeah.
Gotcha. I'm an idiot. It took me forever. It's Friday the... I'm dyslexic. There we go. This movie came out in 2022, so it's new. Spoilers.
Yeah,
be aware.
Yeah, go watch it.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, directed by Mark Millad. I don't know. Written by Seth Rice and Will Tracy. Starring Ralph Fiennes.
Everywhere I look, it's Tracy.
Anya Taylor-Joy, Nicholas Holt.
Shining
Hong Chow, Janet McTeer, Paul Adelstein, John Leguizamo. Angela. And others. I didn't really know anybody in this movie except the two main people. Or three main people, I guess.
Angela.
Okay. I forgot. Whose was this?
This was mine.
Scott's.
Yes. Yeah, it's Scott's.
All right. What's your history with this film?
So it looked interesting way back with the trailers. It's a Fox Searchlight. And those are usually more of the less mainstream, more interesting kinds of films. Not necessarily indie, but stuff a little more off the beaten path, as this movie certainly is. But no, I did not catch it in theaters. It was, however, on HBO. And between the two, I know a lot of people that saw it. Everybody seemed to have like good things to say about it. People enjoyed it. I was looking forward to seeing this. I think I kind of held off in the, you know, to do this for our Halloween season, and I'm glad that I did. I think this fits in well as something that it feels. Well, we'll talk more about it, obviously, but it feels like it feels different, you know, than a lot of the horror movies that we've done. But yeah, watched it on Max, and
it's HBO Max.
For the first time.
Don't
for the podcast.
Don't do that.
Okay. Alex, what's your history with this movie?
I saw, I'm a frequent watcher, I'm a fan of Red Letter Media and their reviews, so I saw a review of this movie because I didn't know it existed, and then I usually watch all their reviews anyways because I'm not that bothered by spoilers and whatnot. So I watched the review in Red Letter Media, and they gave it like a pretty glowing review. It's like, all right, this seems like a pretty cool movie. It's not, it didn't seem like something that I would go out of my way to watch, so I'm glad Scott put it on his list, because I was very, like, it blew my expectations away. I really like this movie.
Okay.
The end.
I had never heard of this movie until just you guys nominated it the other day. I didn't know nothing about it. I don't know. The menu sounded like, what's that movie with Happy Hogan and he's like in the restaurant?
Chef.
I don't know. For some reason, this is what I was thinking. Yeah, this
that
was.
One also has John Leguizamo.
Yeah, that's true. Chef is okay. It's worth a watch. That one's more for Alex because it's about a father reconnecting with his son. So. Not that you don't connect with your son, but it'll mean more to you.
I was taking notes.
It's all about the Cubanos, Cuban sandwiches.
Oh man, that's great. No, but the one thing that I can recommend that I saw in Chef is putting corsetage down your pants when it gets way too balmy down there. It's amazing.
I thought you were going to recommend having relationships with Scarlett Johansson and Sofia Vergara.
Well, he just made them food, and that's it.
Yeah, no, well, funny how Jon Favreau, directed and cast him, so anyway.
Yeah, he cashed in all the favors.
Make him laugh, make him breakfast.
Oh, damn right.
What do you put down your pants?
Yeah, I missed that.
Oh, cornstarch.
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 Okay. All natural cornstarch.
I say quarters.
Quarters.
Cornstarch is, isn't that incredibly flammable? As we might talk about, spoilers, as we might talk about for this movie.
Well, I don't know how hard you're rubbing your thighs together.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you're around flames and stuff. Like,
you can't wear corduroy underwear. You might spark it up.
Mm-hmm. You got those Magnum PI OPs. Yeah, it can be a problem.
I'm just saying, it gets really swampy in the summertime.
It is true.
And if you don't have any talcum powder or Gold Bond, cornstarch does the trick.
Au naturel.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah. This is my first time seeing it. And yeah, we'll talk about it. I was not as high on this as you guys are, but we'll talk about it. Figure.
You watch this on your own, and Jeff, as usual?
I know Laura watched this one. If it's somewhat recent, she wants to watch it.
Yeah, I'd figure like this might actually be something that you'd both be into.
Yeah. And, all right, well, let's get into it.
My wife would have liked half of this movie, or a third of this movie.
Let's get into it. Usually we're talking about seven items from the movie. Scott, what's your number seven?
Okay. My number seven... there's a lot of gags and punchlines that I work more to serve the kind of satire that's going on rather than maybe break up some of the tension. But there's some really funny beats in this movie. And my number seven is one of those, and it's basically how during the fifth course, the women all go back inside and the sous chef, her character's name,
Catherine, played by Christina Brucato.
Yeah, how they're all very supportive of her. Like, she's crying at the table, and then they're all like, trying to lift her up, like being like good people, like, that in and of itself is funny, and then the whole like again spoilers about how, like. The critic tells her, you don't have to do this. And she says, no. Like, everybody dying was my idea.
Yeah, I pitched it.
I'm really proud of it. That whole sequence is very funny. And then just everybody running away at the same time is also very funny. So that was...
except for Nick Holt.
Yeah, except for him. Yeah. So, yeah, that's
all
my
right.
number seven.
All right. Alex, number seven.
My number seven is, I like the subtle ways that it's small and it's, like I said, subtle, that the director kept showing how they're on an isolated island and there's no escape at the very beginning, which is pretty ominous and foreshadows what's to come in the movie. So they have a long shot of the boat leaving after they land. And then afterwards, they get into the building, and then you see Anya Taylor-Joy look back, and they're like, it's another like medium to long lasting shot of them just closing that big door on the restaurant. There might have been others that I missed, but I think with those two, you know, that just sent enough of a message like, oh, everybody's trapped in here. Nobody's getting out of this.
So according to the trivia, one of the writers, like, if he came up with the idea or like based a lot of the idea on him actually going to a restaurant like this where he did go to an island and he noticed why he was there, that like there was no way to get off the island until the meal was over and that they're kind of like sending everybody home. So yeah, that's a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Scary.
Okay. It is. Excuse me. My number seven, so I'm going to get this right off the bat. I just hated Ralph Fiennes in this.
Really?
Yes. It was so annoying. Like, there's a lot of annoying characters in this, and I know a lot of that is... That's the point. But when I hated both sides, I hated everybody in this. Except, I guess, maybe the whatever her name is. I don't know what her name was in this. Like, it
Margo.
Was... Margo. And so I think, and I get why he's supposed to be this way and everything. It just didn't work for me. And maybe it's ever since I found out he pronounces his name Rafe, I just cannot like this guy. I don't know.
But that is a valid point, Jeff.
You
are completely justified in this.
Yeah. I was wondering how long it was going to take Jeff to bring that up, by the way.
And I don't even think it's his acting or anything. I just didn't. I hated everybody in this, so it was just I should have liked him. I think in some way, like obviously he's doing his bad, but you should have at least sided with him, and I didn't because I just thought he was just as pretentious and annoying as everybody else, and I just didn't like it. So I don't know. Get that out of the way. I have some good stuff to say about this, but not him. I did not like him. Fucking Reef.
Just disagree, Jeff. I mean, the name thing aside, like that's a whole separate conversation. But. All
right. Well, you can try to convince me, but you won't. But you can try.
I'm not going to try to convince you. I'm just letting you know. But agree to disagree. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right, Scott, number six.
Number six ties into my number seven when they're having the fifth course. The magazine guy that's there with the critic, and he's hiding out in
Angela.
In the chicken.
Oh wait, no, not Angela.
He's hiding out in the chicken coop. The guy opens up the little door, and he's like, As a reward for being the last guy found here, I forget what it was exactly, but him getting handed the special hors d'oeuvre, like, you know, he sees the guy's hand handed it to him, and he's just like, and then he eats it. That made me laugh out loud. That was a very funny gag. Well, that's my number six.
That was pretty funny, I agree. Alex, number six.
My number six is... I could not wait for everybody to die. Like, I already knew it was gonna happen and everything, but man, this movie was very effective in making me root for everybody's death.
Yeah.
That was great. It's like, it was like, I hate these people, but like in a fun way. It's like, oh man, I can't wait to see how they get it, you know? Or what happens to these assholes. It's gonna be great. And for the most part, I was not disappointed.
Okay, were they all assholes now looking back? Like, what about Leguizamo's assistant? Did she say something
even then, yeah. like...
That gag was great. Do you guys have that on your list? Because that was an honorable mention for me.
The what?
John Leguizamo's assistant, Felicity. Did you go to college? Yes, Brown.
That's on my list.
Student debt? Okay.
That's great. No, I mean... it's, yeah, they're all, like, objectively not good people or living as good people. But I don't know if they're all, like, was rooting for all of them to die. Like, yeah, the Wall Street bros, yeah, like, whatever to those guys. Mm-hmm. And Nicholas Holt's character. But, like, there was the wife, like...
Yeah, Angela.
She was just kind of miserable. The assistant, like, she admits, like, to doing bad things, but, like, there's no way they could know about that. Like, how mm-hmm. she was, like, stealing from him, like, not living up to her potential. It was very, like, Fight Club. Right. So, and even Leguizamo, like, he might have been a giant asshole, but, like, it doesn't seem like he was, like doing a lot of stuff that bad movie stars do these days, so...
But he ruined his day off.
He did. Well, like I said, I'll get to that, which... But, like, I wasn't rooting for him to die because of that. This was my point. Yeah. And obviously, there was Anya Taylor-Joy's character, Margot. So.
There were levels of me wanting people to die. They were on the lower end, of course, but still.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. My number 7... Okay, so this is where you have to explain to me. So I get... Why?
You mean you're number 6?
Yeah, sorry, my number 6. I mean, I guess it's kind of given away one of my things I do really like about it, but spoilers. I guess I get why he's doing this, and why some of and the workers are kind of on board with, you know, hating the customers. But why are they all willing to kill themselves for it? That's what I don't get. Like I know like they took away their love of cooking, right? You know, serving these people, making these food for these people was taking away their love quick. I get that. And I like that. And I have that higher. But, like, I don't get how that turns into let's kill ourselves.
I think they're just leaning more into, like, general horror conventions where he's basically a cult leader. Like, they're in a cult. Like, yeah. And it's just through his reputation and his personality and the way that he does things.
Just indoctrinated.
Yeah, best. I mean, yeah. If you really think about it hard, it starts to fall apart. Like, how did he get all those people there? Like, to get on board, get on the same page. Yeah,
That makes sense. But then you say like that one scene you guys said with the girl saying it's my idea and everything's fine. Like that. See, that kind of counteracts that a little bit. No.
That's kind of like a chef thing. He has his sous chefs like. Present ideas.
Well, no, he came to them and said, like, hey, we need to, like, do the spectacular, like, and then she came up with this thing, and then he was on board with it, and everybody else was on board with it afterwards.
I know, but to kill themselves seems like a big jump
how do real cult leaders do it?
But they kind of influence it, not them coming up with it, right? I guess, I don't know, something there is missing for me, which I didn't like.
I mean, his original idea could have been, like, we'll kill random people or have people die or, you know, and she's like, what if it was everybody?
Confront them with their crimes and stuff like that.
Yeah, just poison the fuck out of them. Who knows? But, like, anyway, like I said, I like some of it, but which I'll talk about later with that part. I just didn't understand what was going on there, and some of the threads didn't connect for me. All right. Scott number 5.
You just don't get food culture, Jeff.
I definitely don't.
Yeah, my number 5, and it's also very funny, is just the reason you're just hitting at it, Alex, but the reason why Leguizamo's character and assistant had to die. Like, it's so petty that because they set it up the whole time about how, like, he's this kind of egomaniac and a liar, and he's saying he's, like, friends with the chef. I'm like, okay, that's going to be the reason. Like, nope, just because of this one time he saw this movie and he didn't like him in it. Like, so, like, and then that's it. And then, yeah, the whole line about how she went to Brown and she doesn't have student loans. And she's still, like, his assistant. Like, just Ray finds this line, like, delivery there is great. Like, where did you go to school, Brown? Do you have student loans? No. You have to die.
Yeah.
This is very funny. But yeah, just, like, everything else has, like, this kind of overarching, like, reason behind it, or like there's more meaning there. But this is just him being like generally, like genuinely petty.
Yeah.
And it makes it really funny. So yeah, that's my number five.
All right, Alex, number five.
My number five is that this is a food cult, like we just talked about. He's Chef Slowik is so charismatic that not only he gets his team members and his sous chefs to go along with this final menu and death of everybody tying it together, but at the very end, even most of the patrons get sucked in.
Because
nobody really, like, he even stated it himself, you know, you guys could have tried harder, you probably could have gotten out of this if you fought back. But nobody did.
I think at the end, with a couple of exceptions, that they've just kind of moved on to more like acceptance rather than agreement, if that makes sense. They just kind of accept. They accepted that, like, okay, this is happening now, and like, I actually really liked that they all more like, well, until you know the smart things, but until the smart thing like actually sparked up, they were all like acting with some level of dignity. It was almost like they were like worthy of the final course by the end, I guess. Worthy to be a part of the menu.
The guys fucking bolted the first opportunity.
Well, yeah, but not by the end.
No, I'm talking about the very last course.
Yeah,
everybody is like relatively.
Right, you said, but by the time they got there, they were. I guess you're saying
by the time they got to that point in the movie is what I meant. When I said by the time they got there. Sorry.
But he said any time. But I'm saying though, but any time during that time, they didn't resolve. Like they could have. He's saying they didn't have the guts to break out of it or whatever. Like they.
Right.
Yeah.
And they didn't. But you said they were resigned. They were resigned already, or whatever. When you said that, like they, whatever. My number five.
Yep.
I did laugh at everyone being upset with no bread. I'm always upset when there's not enough bread. I'm upset when they don't give me three baskets of bread, let alone no bread. Get out of here.
Yeah.
And then they were like, this is really good. This concept is really brave. He's got some balls to do it. Oh, this emulsion is broken. That was a great gag.
I do like the Wall Street guys who are willing to just do anything to get bread. I like that. All right. Alex? Sorry, Scott, number four.
About number four, and this lines up with exactly your last one, Jeff. This does take the piss out of fine dining. Granted, I know Jeff, you're a man's man, ladies man about town. So it's nothing but like Stubrix and
filet mignons.
Is that the fanciest steak restaurant you can think of?
I was trying to think of like other like fancy restaurants. I wasn't just thinking of the steaks, but like Stubrix. What's the other one that's actually around here?
Claim Jumper.
Well,
yeah, I know. Right.
Sizzler. Yes.
Norm's.
Outback Steakhouse. At any rate,
we do go to Solani's on occasion, which is nice.
There you go.
And the Ranch.
Ooh, what about Dorsia?
Oh,
nobody can get into Dorsia.
Go to the Orange Hill restaurant. How about that, Jeff?
No,
that place.
Laura keeps bugging me to go there. We haven't been though.
Okay.
Eh.
Spoilers for our listeners: it's a restaurant on a hill.
Yeah,
in Orange,
in a city called Orange. Yes. It takes like the piss out of all that. Like, yeah, I've done a whole lot of fine dining. I've done just enough to see like, okay, that looks like fine dining, and then yeah, they with the no bread and them lapping it up, but then people being generally upset that there's no bread. The way they lay out all the courses, I was just the gift bag at the end with the fingers in it, which was very funny. And again, Ralph Fiennes is great there when he's describing what's in the bag. He says, There's granola, there's the menu, there's a finger from Mr. Whatever's face was. Like. yeah, just, you know, I don't think the movie was trying too hard to make a statement about how we should or should not enjoy food. But, you know, with all of the, you know, the TV shows that are about this kind of same thing, I don't know, like, do you guys still watching that stuff? 'Cause I have no idea if that's like still as prevalent as it was, say, like 10 years ago. 'Cause 10 years ago it was huge. Like, you get home and you watch one of those shows, like,
it's like Iron Chef.
Iron Chef's awesome. Yeah. Like, that doesn't count, but, like all those
others. Yeah, there's the chef. We saw Chef's Table for a bit, and then there was another ridiculous show called, like, Food Gods or whatever, and the chefs that were judging and everything were called gods of food, and it's like, oh, this is just, fuck you. Fuck all of you.
Yeah. That in the, go ahead, Jeff.
I say, we watch one, America's Worst Cooks. That's what we watch.
That one's good, too.
I can relate.
So, yeah, and then there's, of course, the sixth course, which was Tyler's Bullshit, which is another funny gag. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, again, all taking, like, the seriousness out of it. I liked, we'll talk a little more about it here later, but Hong Chow here is Elsa. Like, just as the super intense, like, maitre d' slash head waiter. Like, I'm not sure exactly.
She's, like, her number one sous chef, I guess.
Well, she wasn't a chef. So she was, oh, okay. She was there.
I guess she would have been the maitre d' restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. She, that was her kind of things. But, like she's pulling, like, the jacket from Margo. The way she's going around and just, like, kind of fucking with all the different patrons there, but mm-hmm. I'm rambling now, but number four, taking the piss out of fine dining, was fun.
Yeah, I've never been. I mean, I've been to a nice steakhouse every once in a while, but I've never been to anything like what you could say, like, a Michelin star restaurant or anything like that. But
you should go to the Hobbit.
Yeah, Laura always keeps switching that one too. I'm not a seafood guy. Those really typically tend to do with seafood places, right?
It is true. It's hard to get away from
it. It depends. Yeah. Actually, that as a short aside here, The Hobbit has a prefix menu. Like I said, it's a little bit pretentious because there's no substitution and everything, but usually it's, like, really, really good. And not like the tiny portions that they have in these abstract restaurants. It's just really fucking good.
Well, when you're getting five or six courses, like, it's okay if the portions are small, typically.
Mm-hmm. This one's about four, but it's still good. Anyways,
I know. Scott, you said you watched it. Alex, what the hell's the name of the show? What's the one with the beef? The chef, Chicago beef one.
Guys, the bear. Grocery games.
The bear.
Oh, the bear.
The bear.
I have not seen the bear.
Okay, and Scott, you said you've seen it or no?
Oh, the first season. Both seasons. The first season. Okay.
All right, then never mind. You guys won't relate. There's this part in season two where they send their maitre d' guy to kind of go learn from one of these nice, fancy restaurants. And it seemed like if that's how these places work, that is, like, insane. Where, like, they know every guest that's coming in that day, and they know, like, who they are, what they like, and this table with, like, extra bread. It's just a crazy experience. Not only just the food themselves, but the whole thing being an experience.
They didn't send a cousin whatever, right?
Oh, they did.
Oh, God. I need to watch season two. I can picture how that would all play out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, and that's that kind of experience. Like, I think most of this stuff would all be lost on me. I'm a very basic meat potatoes guy, but that experience, that might be something that I would love for someone to pay for me to do. anyway. Alex, number four, I think.
My number four is Tyler's Bullshit. I thought that was great. And when Ray finds a Slowik mentioned that this wasn't part of the of the course menu. It was like an added last minute thing, but some hard truths needed to be revealed. Oh, that was great. He propped him up and gave him his own chef's jacket and everything. Then, like, he just turned cook.
Yeah.
Like, all the other cooks are just staring daggers into him the whole time.
I know. It's like, Jesus. Like, man, that was... And he's... Oh, man, what a prick. He was just all about the food when... with the mess. After the mess was presented, he just acted like nothing. I was like, does he... I mean, is he so deluded that he thinks that this is part of an act? Or what?
Was he a sociopath?
Yeah, and then, like, okay. Yeah. And then later on, he's like, "Oh, okay." It's like, shit, he knew that this was going to be his last meal, and he still went with it. Oh, what an ass! What a terrible person! And he brought Margot in with him, knowing that she was going to die.
And yeah, oh, what a lovely cook. Day!
Yeah,
just shiny spray, and spray paint. I did not Useless. Know who that was. I had to look it up. Like, I know this guy from something. And what I really knew him from was X-Men. But I did not know that this was... That was... He was the guy from Fury Road.
Oh, yeah. And then you get to... It's, who knows? I don't know. It was kind of like Lost in Translation. This Chef Slowick whispered just the right thing in order to get his point across. And, yeah, that was the end of Tyler. Tyler's bullshit. I love the description, too. It's like inedible butter sauce and undercooked lamb and burnt vegetables. Gee, brutal.
The lamb looked pretty bloody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, my number four has already been mentioned, but it was when he gives the guys an opportunity to get away, and they all bolt, except for Tyler, I guess. But they all fucking bolt.
Yeah,
I was laughing pretty hard.
Yeah, the very funny beat of the guy just takes off before he even finishes talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking that old rich guy. Oh, I'll call for help. He hobbles off.
Yeah.
It ended with this thing that Scott mentioned too, with the guy sticking his hand in the chicken coop and the guy eating it and being can't resist eating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's delicious.
It looked delicious.
Delicious bites. All right, Scott, number three.
My number three was a very small gesture.
Small.
Part of a bigger scene, but something I really loved was when Margot is taking her food to go. She turns around one last time because, you know, she's definitely a survivor. But she also feels guilty. But not guilty enough to not leave. Although she's... You can see her thinking about it. You know, about, like, what she should be doing here. Even if it's to, like, apologize to everybody or whatever. And Judith Light as Angela. She gives her, like, that little gesture saying, you know, go. And then it was a very... kind of touching moment because she knew that as far as she knew, Margot had had an affair with her husband, even though in a way it was much worse than that.
Oh, yeah.
It was better and worse, if that makes any sense. Just giving her that absolution, really showing that other than just her character being one of the elites that didn't appreciate the food, that maybe she didn't deserve this, but she's the one person that seems to really accept it on the other side of things. So who's to say? She's the one person before they light the s'mores. She says thank you. Just her character turned out to be, like, pretty great. Considering, like, she didn't have a ton to do amongst everything else that was going on, but yeah, just again that little gesture that Anne gives Margot, that's all Margot needed to get the hell out of there. Again, a really really cool bit of just kind of, I wouldn't call it subtle, but just, you know, just physical acting on Judith Light's part.
So she really was the boss.
Whoa! Had that one holstered.
Stupid.
Mm-hmm. Just come with that now.
Yeah, right now. All right, Alex, number three.
My number three was the tortillas. Not only because it was a Mexican course, although I did appreciate Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, apparently that was ad-lib, by the way.
The Taco Tuesday?
But yeah. Ralph Fiennes ad-libbed that.
Taco Tuesday. That was great. Yeah, it was the first time they used the laser engraver, and they posted pretty much why he hated and the chefs hated the customers that were there.
Right.
So they had all the financial records of the company from the Finance Bros, the movie, the terrible movie that John Leguizamo was in. The Pest, I think, was engraved on his tortilla. wow. Yeah, I didn't know how they did that, but they took pictures of Tyler taking pictures of the food when they specifically told him not to.
Yeah.
And they laser engraved that on his tortilla. A picture of the old rich guy and his affair with probably Margo was in that picture too.
Could have been her, yeah.
I was gonna ask, you don't know for sure, right? It could have been, some other girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
I think it
Janet McTeer.
You know what? Just sorry, real quick.
I
think it had to be somebody else because I think they would have recognized her.
It wasn't HD.
Oh, wait. Oh, the laser engraving, no.
And it was not from the laser engraving, but from the actual pictures
that they had. Yeah, but he didn't, anyway. Does it matter if whoever took the pictures knew it was her? It only matters if...
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It probably wasn't, anyway.
Anyways. And yeah, all the failed, the restaurants that failed because of the critics' reviews of them.
Yeah,
that was all great.
I did like Hong Chow... Elsa, we just kept repeating the tortillas. Like what? I forget what the full menu item was called, but she just kept saying it's tortillas.
Yeah, what the fuck is this? It's a tortilla.
All right,
you're not getting away with this.
My number three, I just like that the motivation, one of his motivations, I guess, would be just that taking his love away of cooking and all that. It's cool. Like I said, as much as I disliked his character or the way it was done, I like that motivation for the guy. So, what's my number three? Scott, number two.
Okay, my number two, there's some great performances here. I really liked Ralph Fiennes. Especially at the very end, there was something very poignant and powerful about his acting when he's just making the basic cheeseburger. Mm-hmm. But he emotes in a way that he doesn't for the rest of the movie. I like how the other chefs are like gather around in awe to see him all he's doing is making a cheeseburger, and they're all in awe of him doing this. Just his acting there, some of his line delivery, so that we've gone over, like when Nicholas Holt's character Tyler asks him, "Was there bergamot in that?"
He rolls his eyes.
Yes, there was bergamot. that was really funny. He was good. And Anya Taylor-Joy is good almost in everything she's in, and she's every goddamn movie recently. By the way. None of it's a bad thing, but she's definitely prolific. Yeah. Nicholas Holt. Once you realize that he is a sociopath, his character all of a sudden makes a lot more sense, and I appreciate the performance a lot more. But yeah, just the look on his face when Ralph Fiennes whispers in his ear, that was some good stuff. Red Richard Hong Chow, Judith Light. Everybody's good here. There's not really a weak link, but just some standout. And then Hong Chow, same year was also nominated for The Whale, as Best Supporting Actress, and she was great in that as well. So
I haven't seen that movie.
Very, very strong cast here. Mm-hmm. So that's my number two.
All right, Alex, number two. Cool.
My number two is I love this is a dark, this turned out to be a dark comedy and the biting satire on what food entertainment and food, you know, upscale restaurants have become. It was just like pitch perfect because I've seen a bunch of these shows and everything, and it's, I mean, I appreciate food and the artistry that goes with it sometimes, but there's a lot of stuff that they go way overboard on. Like a lot of these chefs are quote unquote revered as like false idols and whatnot, almost. I mean, like I mentioned before, there's a show called Food Gods. It's like, give me a fucking break, man. So I love the biting satire, the metaphors and everything. And it's really tough. Really, I think more than any other genre, being a successful dark comedy is like, might be one of the, to me anyways, it seems like it might be one of the hardest things to pull off. And I think they did a great job. Mark Lloyd, Seth Rice, and Will Tracy, I think they did a great job.
Mark, Mylod, Malloyd.
Yeah. Malloyd.
All right, my number two is I hated all the customers, but this is like in a good way, right? They made them all hateable. So like that's a good thing. And you guys have said enough about most of these guys. Now, yeah, I will say, I forgot his name, but the main young guy, Tyler, I think he said his name was, especially hated him. He went a little overboard with the, not overboard, but what I was going to say is he does remind me of a lot of posers or, you know, people who are really into something and they say they know stuff, but they really don't. I mean, this character went overboard being a psychopath and everything, like you said. But up until that point, you know, you go to the brewery and a guy knows everything about every hop and everything or whatever. But does he really? Just all that, every kind of field like that. When he's, oh, did you make it with that tool? Oh, yeah, I bet you used one of those, right? Like almost like a, like a Dwight Schrute almost in The Office type in some scenarios. Everyone was very hateable, which I loved. Like I said, I just wish I did like the chef a little more. But it was a good setup. And I just hate that food culture in general just because I shouldn't say I hate it. I don't understand it. And I guess I don't get enjoyment out of food like a lot of people do. There's several levels between where I'm at and where this is spoke. We're talking about these people, but I just, I can't relate really, but I hate them. There you go. Scott, number one.
My number one is how Margot and Chef Sloak get on the same level at the end. I just really liked their, I wouldn't even call them necessarily character arcs, but just her being smart and actually really being the only person there that like would actually enjoy food. necessarily like whatever the fine dining was supposed to be. And how, you know, he keeps talking about, you know, those that take and those that serve, those that give. And so, you know, in her capacity is basically like a high price call girl. You know, she puts those skills to work, to have him put his skills to work. And you know, he recognizes, I really like that he recognizes what's happening the whole time and he kind of lets himself, I don't know, being manipulated is the right way to put it because he understands what's happening. But the way that he, I guess, appreciates it. So he does it where, you know, he recognizes that she's doing a service for him. He's doing a service for her. And that's why he lets her go. You know, the whole time he's been saying like, she didn't belong there. You know, she also is smart enough to like couple that with kind of following the rules, like these kind of unstated rules. Where, yeah, you know, she pays for it, like she gets what she pays for, right? She gets the hamburger to go. And, you know, like And I think he realizes, like, oh, that's very clever. So he lets her go with it. Like, maybe she just sat there and ate the whole hamburger. Like, he probably still would have killed her. I would imagine. So, yeah, I just like that they had this mutual understanding at the very end there. Yeah, it was, just thought it was really cool. You know, kind of tied into that, I wanted to ask you guys, when she's out on the boat, like, is she just, like, genuinely enjoying that hamburger so much that she's, like, momentarily not upset? Or does she just get over it that quickly? Like, I kind of wrestled with that. I don't know what you guys think.
I think because of her profession and what she's been through, I think she just got over it quickly.
Okay.
And also, that looked like a really good fucking hamburger.
Yeah, no. Like, it did really look good.
Yeah.
Or I like her hands are still all bloody, and she's just like, oh, this is good. Like,
I'm pretty sure that was ketchup.
Oh, yeah. I'm a strip of ketchup, yeah. Although, I probably didn't eat onions, but yay. You know, no food's
perfect. I don't think... Did it have onions?
Oh, yeah, it
did.
Yeah. Little shoestring onions or something.
Yeah. Oh,
it's gross. I would have been killed because I would have. He would have seen me scraping.
I
would have
sent onions.
I wouldn't have sent it back, but he would have seen me scraping the onions off of the burger. So
that's funny.
Yeah. Let me get you some more, sir.
I almost thought too she was going to get in trouble because she didn't leave a tip.
That is true.
But
he just
left before he mentioned that we work on a no-tip basis.
Yeah, was that?
I know he did say that afterwards, right?
Yeah, afterwards.
I did like that everybody just resigned to it and they just pull out their cards and like.
That was great.
Yeah,
like the business guys just threw their cards. In
the middle. Yeah, no, this one's on the magazine.
Yeah,
put your wallet away.
Yeah. Which in a way was kind of like a sweet gesture because like, yeah, it didn't mean anything, but like, is his way of saying like, yeah, you know, I still like respect or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, that's my number one.
All right, Alex, number one.
My number one is the cheeseburger.
Same.
The whole scene. I will disagree with Scott a little bit. I don't think they understood each other, but when Margot stood up and clapped her hands, that was her taking control. So she was on a step above Chef Slowick because she was essentially going back to like the roots of what the chef and patron relationship is, right?
No, you know what, Alex? You're half right. Sorry.
No, I'm all right.
She was the chef when he was back taking orders from other chefs at that point.
No, she was the customer.
No, when she
didn't cook anything.
when she claps her hands, like. That's what that was. Okay.
I just take that as her taking control of the whole situation, just like Slowick was doing. Like he's the boss. It's like, no, I'm the paying customer. I'm the boss. I'm sending this back.
Yes, but I think it also ties in to like if back when he was not the chef, like he's just a guy making hamburgers, right? Like there would have been another chef taking control and telling him what to do. So I think that was tied, now that you bring it up. Do you see what I'm saying?
You know what? Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's both. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So she asked for that, you know, just a hamburger, just a really good cheeseburger. And they go back and forth. It's like, oh, I'll give you the greatest cheeseburger you've ever had, the kind that your parents could barely afford. It's like, how much would that set me back? $9.99. Oh, that was just perfect. And yeah, it was extremely clever of her to just keep up the unspoken rules of that relationship. It's like, unfortunately, my eyes are bigger than my stomach. Could I possibly take this to go? That was just fantastic.
Also, she really does have big eyes, so.
Yes.
Not for nothing.
It's literally.
She's a weird-looking, attractive young lady.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe her. She is attractive, but she is weird-looking.
Yeah, she's definitely made for movies. Yeah.
And yeah, she got her cheeseburger to go. Damn, it looked good. That was the best piece of food on that whole damn...
Yeah.
On
the
whole
damn according movie. To trivia, that was just about, like, the only real food that was on the set, too. Like, Everything else was like more or less prop food most of the time. Yeah, yeah. So everybody had to like sit around and watch her get to eat this like awesome looking hamburger on set. Yeah.
All right. Well, my number one is also the cheeseburger for everything Alex said, but also it was just a goddamn good looking cheeseburger. So
yeah, damn. I was hungry.
Some food
porn. Yeah, the cheeseburger. And then I have just a little story of my own. I was visiting a friend up in Seattle, and they took us to this very nice seafood place, and I don't eat seafood. And they're like, look, they have other stuff. They have steak and stuff. And I look, and the steak was like, whatever, $70 or something. I was like, I don't want that. They had a cheeseburger, so I'll get a cheeseburger. I'm the guy who gets a cheeseburger at a very fancy seafood place. Cheeseburger was not cooked well, and it was not good. And I sent my cheeseburger back at a very fancy seafood place. That's me. And I sent it back once, and the second time I just said, it's not very good. I'll just have bread. And they came over and were like, just asking me all sorts of stuff, and like felt sorry. Like, nope, it's fine.
I trust you guys to make a hamburger.
I don't. I'm willing to admit I'm the idiot who ordered a cheeseburger at a seafood place.
They should, but I mean, like,
the bread.
That is, like, that it would come out, like, not cooked doesn't make any sense. Like,
yeah, it was undercooked. I don't know if they're gourmet in it. I don't know. But and it's not like I wanted it medium well or something like that. It was just super undercooked. Anyway. Yeah, it was a good-looking cheeseburger. Any honorable mentions?
Just a couple things. I hope that the movie was like dunking on s'mores, just to make a point about how like s'mores are actually awesome, but everybody's so out of touch that they don't get that. Because s'mores are great, like. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know that I would ever order a s'more like in a restaurant, but like around a campfire, like a s'more is freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. So like, I hope that's not the point the movie was actually trying to make. Like...
Nah, I think you're right. It was just like, hey, s'mores are great. Fire makes it better. Even though they're, you know, unreasonably like, was it poorly sourced chocolate or whatever and machined graham cracker
crappers
stuff. Graham crackers.
There's a hot take. S'mores aren't worth the effort.
Once a year on a camping trip, I'd say. Yeah, it is.
S'mores are good, but man, they are just a pain in the ass to make. And
yeah, they are messy too.
Yeah, yeah, that's the point.
It's not easy to wash your hands usually where you're at when you make them, and it's like, ugh. But they are delicious.
Yeah, and then we talked about the tacos, but I just want to point out again, I really love that they had printed tacos. Printed tortillas.
Laser printer. Yeah.
And then Nicholas Holt is like super upset, but then he eats it. He's like, oh, this is so good.
Like, oh my god, you gotta try this.
This is very funny. So.
Alright, any others?
No, I think we covered all of mine.
Alright, well let's rate it. As usual, we rate on a scale of 1 to 7. 1 being garbage, 7 being perfection. Scott, what do you give this movie?
I think I'm going to give it a 6. I really liked what was going on here. I think one of the few things that was holding it back is kind of like what kind of movie they wanted it to be, because it's like, yeah, half satire on fine dining and half horror. What it would like to have maybe a little bit more motivation to want people to die at the end. to feel like they deserved
all the motivation I needed.
But yeah, like pretty much everything I mentioned here. Like none of us really mentioned the set piece here at the restaurant. Like they're basically in the same space for pretty much the whole movie, and it never mm-hmm. feels like tired at all. So yeah, just a lot going on here that I really liked. So it's a 6.
All Mm-hmm. Alex.
I'm also going to give this movie a 6. I wouldn't say I disagree with Scott. I wouldn't say that this is a horror movie. I mean, it's gory, and it's got some thriller moments in it, but it's more of a dark comedy and a satire for me, and I really enjoyed that aspect of it. Acting was pretty pitch perfect from almost everybody. Yeah, a 6 for me.
All right. I gave it a 4. I didn't hate it. Didn't like it, didn't dislike it. Right in the middle for me. It's very meh. I guess what Laura asked. How do you like it? I was like, eh. That's how I feel.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
There you go.
There it is. And it's time for our crossover topic, which is what, Scott?
The top 5 restaurants and just, what, pop culture? TVs, movies, video games?
Yeah.
So, I don't think we specified real or fake, so it's possible somebody has something on their list here that is an actual restaurant in real life that made its way into a movie. That's fine, I think.
I did fictional.
Yeah, I think all mine are fictional, too. But to start, my number 5 is definitely fictional. And that would be the Frying Dutchman from The Simpsons. One of my...
Oh, yeah. All you can eat.
The sea captain, all you can eat. Homer has escorted out. Tis no man is an eating machine.
Please, sir, don't take the steam trees.
And anytime the sea captain makes an appearance, it's always going to be a good episode. So, number 5, the Frying Dutchman from The Simpsons.
All right, Alex, number 5.
My number 5 is that one restaurant above Cheers. What was it called? I can't even remember. I think they go up there like once or twice for an episode to get Mr. Feeney to do something. But yeah.
I don't remember.
How is that your favorite restaurant? It's not even...
It's my number 5, bro. I just found it fascinating that the bar, the show is about the bar and everything, but there people just wait for their appointments, for their, they get seated at the restaurant that's upstairs that we almost never get to see.
Melville's. Is the name.
I guess so, yeah.
Alright.
There it is.
There it is. Mm-hmm. Alright, my number 5 is, Moobies. Moop, something like that, whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah, Dogma. Moobies. That's right.
Oh, Moobies.
Yes, we're talking about Moobies, Jeff.
Yeah. What? What'd you say?
We're talking about Movies.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Moobies.
I heard you say Movies with a V.
Yeah, no, with a B.
With a B.
Yeah, like the fictional burger place in Dogma.
Golden Calf.
But not only Dogma, actually, and in Clerks 2. All of Clerks 2 takes place in the Movies. But yeah, also Dogma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know why I liked it, but I do. Some of the names of the... I already forgot it. But
I mean, it's a big plot point in... I guess, well, technically Clerks 2, it's a big pop-up because that's where they are for the whole movie, but in Dogma, they go to the board of directors or whatever. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a running gag through most, well, some, I wouldn't say most, but some Kevin Smith films. Even if it's just like a little hat or some tchotchke over there from Movies.
Yeah, and I think he does do pop-ups of those around the country now. all right. Scott, number 4. Sorry.
My number 4 is Gus's Galaxy Grill from Spaceballs.
Almost put on my list.
Soup and special.
Hello, my baby.
Yeah, it's still one of the funniest things ever in a movie. You get John Hurt going, not again. It's so, like, fourth wall breaking, but so funny. And then, yeah.
Get this guy some Pepto-Bismol.
And then, yeah, the little alien puts on the... I don't, it's not a top hat, but what is it? The whatever kind of hat. And he's got the K, and he starts...
Wasn't it a top hat?
It was, like, one of those, like, band... like, band leader hat? I don't know what the hell to call it.
Okay. Oh, I could have sworn it was a top hat. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to watch Spaceballs again.
At any rate, he puts on a little hat. and then does the song and dance number. Hello, my honey. Like, goes through, and then they go... They get the check and get out of there. So, that's my number four.
All right, Alex, number four.
My number four, and this is from a video game. I don't know if I would get any delicious food or even what I ordered, but I kind of want to see the chaos that's in this kitchen, and that is Overcooked.
Yeah,
whatever restaurant we're cooking at in Overcooked. Man, that game is a blast. I mean, it's stressful as shit.
I mean, they put that in place. They put that restaurant in places that like surely can't be up to like safety codes, like yeah. Middle of the street,
or the two semis that are coming back and forth together.
Yeah, that just doesn't seem safe. Yeah,
that's great. Yeah. Hot air balloons. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. They got a serious rat problem too.
Yeah,
game's great.
Play it, people. Right. Game is great.
Yeah, it's a fun game. My number four is Krusty Burger from The Simpsons. I don't know why I always want to eat a Krusty Burger.
Yeah.
What's how does it start with the what's the burglar?
Oh, it's the Krusty Burglar.
You're
stealing all the burgers.
Stop. He's already dead. Oh, God.
All right, Scott, number three.
Number three is from a video game. And that would be LeBlanc's from Persona 5 Royal.
Oh, yeah.
Probably in all iterations of that, that game. That have been out or are coming out. It plays a big part of the game. Like, it's where you live. So, not in the restaurant part, but the apartment above.
Yeah, upstairs.
Upstairs.
The attic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to have a cup of coffee at LeBlanc's and some curry.
Yeah, coffee and curry. That's especially.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Alex, number three.
My number three is from a real restaurant, but it does not exist anymore. The Brown Derby. It's featured a lot in a lot of the old-timey shows. I think in, in I Love Lucy. They go there to eat. In some Bugs Bunny cartoons, it's on there as well. And as a kid, I always wanted to go there. And my dad's like, well, good luck. We can go to the site where it used to be. I'm like, God damn it. So there it is, the Brown Derby.
Is there really no locations? I'm looking this up.
Brown Derby. Yeah, it was just the one restaurant, right? With all the caricatures of celebrities.
Yeah, I've always heard of it, but I don't know anything about it.
Okay, so it says, a common story also credits the restaurant's birthplace as the Cobb Salad, concoction, blah, blah, blah. In 1985, the Hollywood Brown Derby closed for earthquake retrofitting, but never reopened due to a devastating 1987 fire. Almost everything was destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
So that would have been even worse if your dad did take you to see that and just saw the charred husk of the where the restaurant used to stand.
It's like, oh, man.
I just like it. All right, we got to make an earthquake safe. Like 6 months later, 6 months later, no earthquake's gonna take us down.
Whoosh.
Oh, grease fire took out the whole place. Mm-hmm. I guess we should have put it in the fire suppression system there, Bob. All right, my number three is from a TV show True Blood. It would be Merlot's or Merlot's. Pronounce Merlot's. That's where everything happened. That's where Sookie worked. That's where everybody worked.
And, who worked?
Oh, yeah.
Sookie.
Sorry.
Sookie.
So it's more of a bar, but it is a restaurant as well, as they, yeah. What's his face was the short order cook back there. A couple of guys were, and they had booths and served some food. So I try to keep pure bars out of my list, but Merlot's, it always seemed fun. You'd always, you run into a vamp or two, yeah. Or a fairy, or a Vampers. Werewolf, or whatever. So yeah, it was Sam Merlot. Or was it Merlot?
I think it was Merlot.
It was Merlot, because I've always
seen. That was her name too, right? Like Suki was a Merlot, right? It was her brother.
No, they're Stackhouse.
No,
wait. When...
Yeah, they were Stackhouse, Suki Stackhouse, yeah,
that's right.
And
that's right.
Other kid.
Yeah. No, but there's a scene. One of the scenes where what's his face, Stapler, that guy, he's playing a vampire, and hires
Jimmy James as a vampire.
Mr. Jimmy James, and he has what's his face? Who is the brother, the gay brother who was the cook? And unfortunately, he passed away like 10 years ago. Do you remember? So there was Tara's brother or cousin. I forgot it was Tara's brother or cousin. Anyway, he would go to his house. He'd kind of sell his sexual services in order to get some of the vamp blood, the V or whatever. Because it was a good drug. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Mr. Jimmy James' character like gives him a bottle of wine. And he's like, "What am I going to do with this?" He's like, "I thought I remember you saying you go for Merlot." And he says, "No, I work at Merlot's." Like, I don't know. I'm misquoting it. That's why I always got the name confused. Anyway, Sam Merlot's from True Blood. Scott, number two.
Okay.
What was his name?
My number two is... I probably stole this from Jeff's list. But Jackrabbit Slims from Pulp
Fiction. That's my number two.
Well, let's talk about it.
You can talk about it. That's fine.
His Buddy Holly has sunk to a new level.
Yeah, you get a weird cameo from Steve Buscemi as Buddy Holly.
Well, at that point in his career, was it really a cameo?
Yeah.
I guess it was, because he was in Reservoir Dogs. Yeah. Never mind.
As the all-time... Some all-time classic dialogue there about the milkshake, about...
I drink your milkshake.
About, you know, what happened between Marcellus Wallace and Tony Rakihura, the dance-off, all that jazz.
I want that trophy.
It's good stuff.
And I'm pretty sure I've gotten plenty $5 milkshakes now, and it's not that unreasonable.
Yeah, yeah. I use that though as like an analog for other things like that. Like I think Jeff, I was at your place. God, it was probably like last year at some point. But I was bitching about expensive donuts, and it's like damn, it's a good donut. Not worth $5, but it's a good donut. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's true. Just go to one of the Cambodian places around here.
Oh yeah, no, there's a DK.
So fucking good.
There's a DK down the street.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. There you go.
We got a KD's over here.
Mm. All right. I'll talk a little bit more of that on my turn. But Alex, what's your number two?
My number two is the place where I want to retire, Hobbiton, the Green Dragon Inn.
I mean, I guess an inn's a restaurant.
Give me, yeah. It's an inn, they have a bar, but they serve food. It's a restaurant.
What's the Prancing Pony, right? Or is that a different place?
Yeah, Prancing Pony is where they meet Aragorn and everybody.
That's also an inn. I think the Green Dragon's a tavern now, Alex. I'm calling bullshit on this.
It's a Green Dragon Inn.
Wait, is the Green Dragon the one in the Shire? Or in Hobbiton?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But they go, they make merry, they have some food. Probably second or third dinner.
Yeah, I mean, every establishment has to serve food with hobbits are around. So, yeah, I'll
yeah. Okay. Besides, it was the olden times. All the inns served food. Restaurant.
It was the olden times. With wee people running around. And...
yeah. Ancestors.
Alex's ancestors.
All right. my number two is Jackrabbit Slim's. I don't know. It's just like I said, the restaurant itself is meh, but just the scene, like everything Scott already talked about with the dancing and everything, and sitting in a little car booth, and and the milkshake and the cheeseburger or whatever. Eh, it was good. And welcome to the really big show. there we go. So, Scott, number one.
My number one is, speaking of donuts, is Stan Mikita's Donuts from Wayne's World.
Oh, shit. That's good.
A, because it's like a meetup spot throughout the movie to like move the plot along. But mostly just because of... what's
Stan
what's,
Mikita.
No. What is Ed O'Neill's character's name in that?
Stan Mikita.
It's not Stan Mikita. but anyway, the monologues he gives, just pure gold. Why is it when a man kills another man in war, he's a hero? If he kills another man in the heat of passion, he's a murderer. Oh, God. Crack up just thinking about it. So, yeah.
Who's trying to kill you, Mr. Donut Man? I don't know, but he better not.
All right. So is that... I don't understand McKee's Donuts. So there's Tim Horton Donuts that's all over Canada, right? So like, I wonder... Is that a play on that or no?
Well, and Stan Mikita's like... Probably. That's a real hockey player, right?
Yeah, so is Tim Horton.
Tim Horton was a hockey player?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
There you go.
Probably because, yeah, Mike Myers is like ultra-Canadian, so that's probably what that was.
He's ultra-Canadian.
So there's probably a nod to that, yeah. Yeah, you're probably right, Jeff.
All right, Alex, number one.
My number one, here's finally my Simpsons restaurant reference, and it would be Uncle Moe's Family Feedback.
God.
Man, I want to go there so bad, but Moe got rid of the dank for an episode. He got an industrial-size deep fryer, flash fry buffalo in 15 seconds. And he has to do the birthday dance with sparklers and french fries on top of his head. Oh, you didn't smile. We eat for free. Come on, Shoshana.
You're not getting rid of the dank. The dank, Mo, are you?
Oh, the dank. Man, what a great episode.
Is that the one where it starts off with them, like, on a Sunday, like, waiting for the sun to reach, like, basically the sundial when he can start serving booze?
Yeah, when the light gets here, we can drink.
God. Like I said, that Paul's bar around the corner from here, that place opens like at 6 a.m. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's pretty much Moe's.
I know. I mean, I've been there at 8 a.m., but 6 a.m., Jesus.
Yeah, that is a dink. Uncle Paul's Family Feedback.
All right. Well, my number one is Los Boyos Hermanos from Breaking Bad. It's just a lot of stuff takes place there. If you guys, I know you guys haven't watched the show, but a lot of stuff takes place there. And I eat out of Pollo Loco a lot, and this looks like a better version of a Pollo Loco, so I'd rather just have that.
Hmm.
And there it is. Fresh chicken, friendly service. Been a front for a big drug lord. There it is. Anything else?
Rick's Cafe American from Casablanca.
Yeah, there's a lot of restaurants.
Yeah, Cafe 80s from Back to the Future 2.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Even Mills.
And
There was that one episode, as I mentioned, in I Love Lucy, where they buy a diner. And they think that Ricky and Fred and, you know, the four friends are going to own a diner. And they have this dream. By the end of the episode, they hate it. And their friendship almost ends.
But then they move along to the next thing. And there's some...
He just goes home and beats his wife.
Yeah.
You hit her pretty hard that time, Rick.
And then finally, I had to look this up because I didn't actually remember this. But Louis' restaurant, the Italian restaurant in The Godfather... where Michael Corleone explains what is most important to him.
to crush your enemies, see them driven before you. Hear to hear the lamentation of the women.
So that exact speech, but he's doing like the fingers, like the fingers up in the air.
Mm-hmm. But I miss it. Which, the one where he shoots the two people?
Yeah,
or?
Lots of, I guess that restaurant's called Louis. I don't know if they actually say that in the movie or not.
I don't think so. I think Clemenza does, because he gets the call in and he knows everything about it.
Yeah, but I don't remember if he actually says the name.
Toilet.
Yeah, yeah. Brother,
he's got a free gun. He gets free guns over at Louis.
Man, it's with his dick in his hand. But a bing,
all right. It's time to talk about Alex Knows Sports.
I'm Alex, and I like sports.
Sportsful?
Well, I was going to talk about Matthew Lillard's younger brother, Damian Lillard, in the NBA. But
why are we skipping that?
Because my wife just sent me some hot news, sports news.
Let's hear it.
With Travis Kelce from the Kansas City Chiefs mentioned offhand somewhere in a podcast or something that he alluded to dating Taylor Swift.
T-Swizzle.
And immediately, almost immediately, he got 300,000 new Instagram followers, a 400% increase in merchandise sales, and he is the top 5 selling jersey in the NFL now. So, it pays.
Yeah.
I guess it pays to date Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Well, until
She was at the game on Sunday night or whatever that was.
Until you break up and then you get a scathing song about you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like that poor. Well, he's probably an asshole, but
Chet Hanks.
I was gonna say. I was gonna say just like that Jonas kid that broke up with Sansa, the divorced Sansa, is gonna get a Taylor Swift song about him. That's gonna be, it's gonna be fire.
Mm-hmm. Shake it off.
But yeah, I am seeing stuff where a couple videos today where I don't know how real they are because who knows if the internet these days, but like wives trolling their husbands, like talking about how some Travis Kelce guy that I've never heard of is like important now that he's dating Taylor Swift, and like and the husbands like losing their minds or like he plays tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs, he's got 2 Super Bowl rings, like he's the best tight end.
You literally watched him win the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
I was just watching the commercials. I was watching Rihanna at the halftime show.
Yeah. So that is funny. Yeah, they look like they're making a cute couple.
Yeah,
We'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, I hope, you know, it's for reals. It's for keeps.
I just want to see...
Bunch of...
I just want to see Tay-Tay be happy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, seriously.
Ugly, untalented people. God. All right. It's time for Neum News.
Yeah.
It was yeah. Okay, I'll keep it quick this week.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. Do you use guys, where are you with Ahsoka now? I think I'm 1 episode behind. So I'm through 6.
Oh, I'm still on episode 4.
Okay.
I started watching the last weeks and I turned it off and I will never watch it again. So
that's...
I literally stopped it in the middle and I said, nope.
I have some huge problems with episode 6 that I watched.
Wizard did
discuss. Not from a plot hole, but like a why should I care kind of standpoint. How can I put this? One of the characters does the thing. Yeah.
Wait, Alex, do you care about spoilers or no?
No.
Okay, so we'll
talk about it. Scott.
Just one of the characters makes a decision.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, one of the characters makes a decision, and now I don't care about them. Like, I don't see why anybody should care about them. Like, maybe if you watched Rebels, you would care. But there's no coming back from that, which is, from a character point of view, makes sense. It's strong. The problem is, it's like, the show's like an ensemble thing. It's going to switch back and forth from characters. Like, so basically, if the show was just about Sabine, like, then I would still maybe be interested. But now that she's basically, like, fucked over everybody else, like, why should I care about her?
Yeah.
That's my sucks. My question to you guys. Like, am I overreacting with that? Like
I don't think so. From if that's where her character is foreshadowed a little bit,
that it might be headed that way. I think that's the problem. Is like, sometimes it makes sense for characters to do things, mm-hmm. and then it then makes sense as the audience to like move on from that character. Like, like, I no longer care what happens to her. Like, like what she did was so horrendous. Like, so like incredible. Like, again, it maybe makes sense for a character, but it was so incredibly selfish that like I no longer care about her well-being. Like, wow. There's not like I don't remember seeing anything else like it in Star Wars. Like, yes, there's people that heel turn and things like that, but then it's like, okay, well, they're like, they're evil now or whatever. Where it's like, we're still expected to like think of her as one of the good guys. Like,
ooh, that's a problem. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't.
She should have at least dropped to her knees and go, "What have I done?"
Yeah.
Yeah. From my point of view, yeah, the Jedi are evil.
Should have said. should have had Rosario Dawson just say like somehow she betrayed us. Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's rough for like the format of the show. Like I think that's my problem with it. Like it was a book.
There's nothing good.
Or more time.
There's
to,
nothing
to
good about this show, Scott, at all. Except what's his face? The guy who died is the only guy who's Ray, anything Ray good Stevenson. In the show.
Yeah.
Ahsoka is boring and slow and just what everything about it is just terrible. And this last episode, I've been waiting forever to see Thrawn. I guess you're not that far. I won't say it, but just whatever. I'm done. Like, literally, a scene happened.
Did Thrawn come out and go, "Hey, guys. Thanks for freeing me.
Don't you know?" He's like, he came out like Edwin. Hi there. Don't you know?
Basically, okay. The casting of him is awful. It looks like Elon Musk in blue paint. But like that's not the reason I turned it off. But I just felt the casting was terrible. I know they got the voice actor from the cartoon, but I mean, who cares? There was stuff that just happened. I just like I'm done. I'm wasting my time too much on this shit. So okay. I think until Andor 2 comes out, I am done with any Star Wars shows.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Jeff's stories.
I shouldn't have to settle for this shit.
Okay. Well, I know I promised I'd keep things short. So moving along from that, Cyberpunk 2077, had its 2.0 release, which revamped a lot of the systems in the game, fixed some things, but yeah, it changed up a lot of the way the game worked. And it was kind of a jarring if you put as many hours as I had into it. I still don't know necessarily where I come out on a lot of it. Some of it's an improvement. Some of it I kind of miss. Yeah, I'll have to play more to really decide where I come down on it. I mean, still enjoying it. Like, I started up a new playthrough. And all that said, the Phantom Liberty DLC, really the only piece of DLC content, is out now for it as well. I haven't gotten to the point in the game where you can start accessing it, but it's all the Idris Elba stuff. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, people seem to be really receptive of it. They have made some cool changes. I don't know if it's like stuff that I could pull off, but they basically changed a lot of they added vehicle combat. So I see all these videos of like people like jumping out of their cars and motorcycles and doing like insane things. It looks really cool. That's cool. Looks really fun. Mm-hmm. Just things you couldn't do before. That's it from me. Alex, anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I wanted to review a couple of classic movies that I've been watching with my kids. I will not talk about Solar Babies because that's on the list of movies that we're going to review on the show eventually.
Yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, I was watching the original Blob with Steve McQueen with my kids to start them off on like some light spooky movies and everything. And yeah, I guess, I don't know, they don't specifically say that Steve McQueen is supposed to be playing a teenager, but man, he's a rough teen. He's got one of those faces that when he's got a flat face and everything, it's like, okay, this is passable. Maybe he just graduated high school or something. As soon as he smiles, it's fucking Crowfoot City.
Is he like Johnny Lee Miller walking around in Hackers with the 5 o'clock shadow and like a thinning hair on top of his head?
Well, not thinning hair. I mean, Steve McQueen. But he is remarkably old for the character that he's playing. but it was pretty neat. The boys, my kids, did not last too long with that movie. It was still a little bit too scary.
Like, the part with the farmer in the very beginning is kind of creepy, yeah.
Yeah. That was great. Upside down filming. They just turned the shot 180. That was awesome. I love practical, like, old-timey special effects like that. That was awesome. Let's see. We watched Solar Babies. The one thing that my boys did say was, like, this movie's too long. I was like, yeah, I agree. Aside from that, we also tried watching Young Frankenstein. Okay. They were too scared of that. It's like, oh, I can kind of see it. But they did have some chuckles here and there at some of the jokes at the start. And finally, I introduced my boys to Dexter's Laboratory. Dexter's Laboratory cartoon. And I gotta say, with the kids, it still holds up. They're not only is it educational with science stuff, but they also learned a little bit of French. So they go to restaurants ordering omelette du fromage.
God, you gotta find the episode, Alex, where I think it was Tartakovsky, where he had his like kid write the script.
Oh, really?
And then perform it. And so like the kid just kept saying like, "You are stupid." And you know what else? You are stupid. And they just like animated the whole episode based on what the kid had done.
Oh, I don't think we've gotten to that one yet. It's pretty funny. But we already watched my favorite one, which is the arm wrestling one. It's fucking gold. But yeah, go watch it. It's on Amazon Prime.
Oh man, did you,
right now.
Have you gotten
all of the seasons?
You got any of the, is it Super Monkey?
Oh yeah, Dial M for Monkey.
Yeah, did you get the one with the Super Friends?
Yeah, that the too. They have the episode where Friends.
When when Rasslar comes.
Oh yeah, Macho Man Randy Savage. That was the second episode.
Okay.
Yeah, that was great.
Some classic stuff. Your breath is minty fresh, and for that I salute you.
So yeah, if you don't want your kids watching some trash on YouTube or whatnot, just introduce them to Dexter's Lab. It holds up. They don't want to stop watching it. There you go. That's it for me.
Okay. Jeff, anything for you? We lost him, sir. Shit.
We lost him, sir.
Sorry, I was on mute. No. I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood again.
What? No.
What? No.
Yeah, sorry, I don't think I have anything. Ahsoka, I think I mentioned Winning Time. I don't know if I said I thought they were going to end it, but they did end it. And yeah, I mentioned they were, and I found out they did, and I saw, and it's, oh, it's tragic.
Like,
they literally just...
So it's, you said it was canceled, as in, like, the second season ended, over. They're going to show the rest of the season, right? Like, they showed...
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Let's say the name of the show is called Winning Time, the start of the Lakers dynasty, and the series ends with them losing to the Celtics in the playoffs.
Who earns?
And then some text comes up and says, "Well, they won it next year, and then they won it the year again, and then they won a couple more, and then blah, blah, blah." And it's so bad, like, ugh.
Winning Time.
Sucking this new HBO guy who's changing the name and changing how they do this shit. I don't know.
Man. I just want to see Michael Thompson show up.
No Michael Thompson.
What about Ogie Oglethorpe?
Play basketball.
You a little bit of Worthy, a little bit of Scott. I think that's it. That was like the new, like the. No, they didn't get Denny AC Green. Okay. Anyway, yeah, so I watched that, and that show's over now, and then I stopped watching Ahsoka, so I got nothing.
Just as an empty shell of a man.
Basically. It's TV. I keep hearing The Foundation's really good on Apple TV. I gotta watch that.
Okay.
Good sci-fi.
Did you ever watch The Expanse?
I watched a season or two, and it was all right. Didn't hook me. It was all right, though. I think it was one of those where I kind of got distracted, and then I forgot about it, and then by the time I came back, I had no idea what was going on, and I was like, all right,
done. Fair enough.
That's all I got.
All right, sounds like we're good.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Got to get something to eat. Maybe a hamburger.
Cheeseburger. We at Hans Shop First would like to thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to contact us on Facebook and Twitter at Hans Shop First. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are greatly appreciated and help us get more exposure. Once again, thanks for listening and supporting the podcast.